Hey, Stu.
Tom.
Tactical Fitness Report with Stu Smith, podcast 13.
All right, lucky number 13.
Unlucky number here, buddy.
All right.
But you know what? We're going to fight through it because this one is called Defeating the Quit Demon.
One of my favorite articles.
Yep. So this one starts out basically with a quote from you. That says, we all have a little voice inside our head that tells us to take the easier path, and that science has a natural part of this because we have a built-in desire to survive and avoid pain, discomfort, stress, and failure. And because that's naturally scientifically built into our survival skills, it can cause a problem for us in this area.
Yeah, to a degree. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, anytime you're very comfortable, moving from a comfortable position to a less than comfortable position, or maybe even uncomfortable position, is a challenge. And we face it every single day, right? We face it every single day. We wake up, we're under our covers, you know, the alarm goes off, and you have that opportunity right there to just hit snooze and stay in bed sometimes, right? If you wake up early enough, especially like if you have a morning workout. So, you know, like Admiral McRaven, you know, he always talks about first thing he does, you know, he gets in that mode of completing tasks. As soon as he gets out of bed, he makes his bed, right? And yep. As soon as I get out of bed, I can't make my bed because my wife's still sleeping in it. But I leave the house and go work out every day. Right? I am doing something every day. And so by an hour after me waking up, I am now, you know, have accomplished one or two tasks. Right. And I'm on that mode now. I am on that task oriented mode. And you never really consider quitting. You know, once you're on that mode of completing tasks, you don't get motivated by starting tasks. You get motivated by completing tasks. And I think over the years of practicing, you know, task completion, you won't have to have those quit demon conversations that are inside your head. You know, I even sometimes, like after I've worked out for an hour and I'm going to swim for 30 minutes afterwards, you know, dipping my toe in the water, right? I just don't want to get wet at that moment. You know, there's a little piece inside my head that says, you know, you're nice and warm now. You can just go take a shower, you know, get to start work early. You've already done enough. You don't have to do this. You know, it happens. I mean, there's a little thing in your head, but you just jump in. And once again, every time you do that, you know, little task of defeating that little quit demon, you are becoming more mentally tough every single day. So back to when we talked about mentally tough in like podcast number 8, this is part of that tasking completion that you really need to master, you know, to engage that mental toughness, because that mental toughness, you know, is really in turn is discipline. You've disciplined yourself to be able to do this.
It's a characteristic, Stu, I think we see pretty broadly. You know, you practice it. You mentioned Admiral McRaven. He's just written a book on the subject called Make Your Bed or Make My Bed or whatever, right? But the point he made, and he's got a great commencement speech he gave a number of years ago at University of Texas, Austin, his alma mater.
Yeah, you can find that on YouTube. It's awesome. You should listen to it.
Yeah, absolutely. He's tremendous. And even, you know, I'm going to probably not quote Jocko completely correctly here, but he has a philosophy. And if I boil down his philosophy, it's that if you start your day doing something that's hard, right? Getting the point you just made, roll out of bed, leave the house, go work out every day. His point is if you overcome something that's difficult, right away, it sets the tone for the rest of the day. That idea of overcoming something that's an obstacle, if you do that right away, it sets the path. And the opposite is also true, that if you give in to it first thing in the morning, you're more likely to give into it for the rest of the day and make it harder to overcome those obstacles. That's his philosophy. I believe, and I think there's a lot of truth in that.
Oh, absolutely. I think if you start making excuses for yourself first thing in the morning on why you're not going to get up, why you're going to hit that snooze button 3 or 4 times and miss your workout, you know, not eat a good breakfast, and you know, you're late for work. You know, just keep making excuses throughout the rest of your day on why you're not achieving what you need to be achieving. So I think you either get into one or two modes. You get into a task completion mode, or you get into an excuses mode on why you can't complete a task. Now, don't get me wrong. There are days when I get nothing done, right? But I've tried, something happened, you know, something went wrong, computer glitch, you know, whatever, you know, things happen, life happens, my wife gets sick, I have to take her to the hospital, you know, things in life occur that throw a curveball at you. I'm not saying that this is, you have to be perfect every single day and do this, but, you know, there are times when, you know, it's just you and your head. And I heard one of the greatest sayings, can't remember who I heard it from, but it was something real simple as, you know, when you're feeling like you got a lot of stuff going on and you just, and that quit demon's talking to you, don't listen to yourself, talk to yourself.
Yeah.
So don't listen to yourself, talk to yourself. And that turns that quit demon off, you know, especially if you can have a little positive, you know, affirmation that you give yourself to keep on moving, don't quit, you know, those type of things. And, you know, you just listen to yourself. You know, say, you know, Stu, positive things. So,
one of the points you make in this article is that the common denominator to success versus quitting is movement.
Yes, keep moving, keep moving. In fact, I even quote Lou Holtz, you know, Notre Dame coach, longtime Notre Dame coach. He goes, "The ability is what you are capable of doing. Motivation determines what you do. Attitude determines how well you do it." And I add on there, discipline determines you doing it when you're not motivated.
Yes. That is a good point.
You know what I mean? Because there are days when I am not motivated to get out of bed. But you do it for so long, you create this habit, becomes discipline. You always know you feel better when you get out of bed, you get the workout done, or, you know, versus the opposite reality when you skip it. You know, you just feel like crap the whole day because you skipped your morning workout. So, yeah, you know, that's the key right there. You got to move.
And, you know, one of the things you mentioned, and I'm completely in agreement with this, is that people that have executed at very high levels rarely suffer from this problem.
Yeah, good point. Good point. But they probably have a lifetime of, you know, creating these little mini decisions, you know, throughout their day. You know, like I grew up first thing in the morning, even before school, I would work out. You know, in high school, I would do something before school. It was just a habit that I loved to do. And, you know, so that daily habit of, you know, jumping in the pool or going to my weight room or, you know, whatever, you know, before school was ingrained. And I could have slept another 30, 45 minutes, right, or not. And I knew from a really early age that I started feeling better about myself and just feeling better, you know, mentally when I went to school after having worked out and eaten a good breakfast. You know, those were things that I knew that worked for me. And I think you can carry those things on the rest of your life to be able to do that. And you're right. You get in that mode of task achievement that, you know, it's just the little tasks that help you build the ability to take care of the big tasks.
You know, one of the concepts that has struck me for a long time now is a concept that I call selective competition. Stu. So what I mean by that is that those of us that have a desire to do things at a high level, we try to figure out quickly, what is it that we are really good at? And also figure out what are those things that we're moderately good at, but we're never going to be world class at. And make sure we don't try to compete at the very highest level on those things that we're moderately good at. You know, I think you know the story that I did my undergraduate work at Wake Forest University in North Carolina, and that I played golf. Being from South Carolina, I played golf every day when I was a kid. Lived on a golf course. We weren't wealthy by any means, but everybody knows South Carolina is full of golf courses. And so I would get home after school and play 9 holes of golf. And then I'd go to work after that. And I thought I was a good golfer. Because I played well and played every day. So I went to Wake Forest, which most people know is a golf school. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to try out for the golf team. So I went, and the year I was there, Lanny Watkins was there, and, you know, those kind of people. And I was playing pretty poorly compared to the rest of those guys, you know. And so and I was not alone. There were a bunch of us. So the coach, the golf coach named Jesse Haddock, pulled us all together, and he looked at a bunch of us and he said, you know, you all could play golf almost any place in this country. You can't play here. And, you know, now, as you probably know, I've never played golf since.
Oh, okay. Funny.
Now, why? Because I got a wake-up call that said, you know what, I'm a little bit better runner and swimmer than I am golfer. And so I said, okay, I'll just focus on that stuff. But it taught me an important lesson, this lesson of you think you're good at a certain point. And you've been taught that because you're around people that are moderately good and you're doing a little bit better than they are. But when you finally realize that you're only average in these things, and if you're trying to compete at the highest levels, you better know the difference between what you're world class at and what you're moderately good at.
Right.
And make sure you're not trying to compete in the world class game and that stuff that you're moderately good at.
Yeah.
And, you know, we get at this all during all the podcasts we've done about there are plenty of ways of figuring this out, figuring these things out. But it's the idea of selective competition. It's not about, and for high achievers, it's not about deciding whether you're going to succeed or quit. I don't quit what I decide to do. But I'm also not going to go out right now and try to be a world-class golfer because I know there's no way I'm going to be good enough to be a world-class right. golfer.
Yeah, I did some work with a guy that was a Olympic cyclist, right? Probably about 5'6", big legs, scrawny upper body. And, you know, he said he found a sport that was perfect for his biology, right? And, you know, he just got good at that sport. Now, him trying to be an Olympic swimmer or Olympic basketball player wasn't going to happen, right? It just wasn't in his biology to do that. So, you know, you're right. You know, you have to be selective in what you're going to attempt. But at the same time, you know, you can push through, make some of these weaknesses a little bit stronger. And you don't necessarily have to be world class to be a tactical athlete, obviously. Right, you don't have to be a world-class athlete to do any of these jobs. You just need to be good at all of them, right? So that's why I love the whole tactical athlete thing, because I was never world-class at anything, right? But, you know, if you can be good at everything, you can be a really good tactical athlete, whether that's a policeman, firefighter, SWAT team guy, special ops guy, whatever. You know, you can do this stuff. And, you know, the thing that's the difference between the people that are and that aren't is that quit demon that yes. we're discussing. Because that quit demon, no matter what tactical profession you're in, you will hear it at some point. It might be a firefighter carrying all his gear up, you know, 20 flights of stairs, or it might be, you know, the Navy SEAL student, you know, with a boat on his head, you know, with his teammates, you know, moving out in a boat race. You know, you tend to hear those things at that point. But there's this time when, once again, you have to talk to yourself and not listen to yourself when those moments hit you.
And, you know, Stu, I don't know about you, but those occur to me at night and when I'm alone.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Right?
And so you have to know, when is your greatest weakness for those things coming your way and you start doubting yourself? Because the nighttime and being alone are the two characteristics that cause me to do more doubting about my ability to accomplish things than anything else. So it's important to recognize, when does that happen to you, so that you can then start applying some of these techniques that you're talking about, Stu, the movement. Don't stop.
Yeah, I'm a morning person. So me getting up out of bed has never been a challenge for me. You know, I will say. Now, my wife's just the opposite. You know, she's not a morning person, but she's a night owl. At 10 o'clock at night, when, you know, I'm about to fall asleep, you know, trying to just force myself to stay awake, she's just getting started and will stay, you know, functioning and highly productive till 2 a.m. Right? So it's just something that I am not good at. However, there are days when, you know, you're in the military, when it doesn't matter if you're a morning person or a night person, you have to do stuff all day long. So there are quit demons that may affect people differently. It might be that at night, like you said, or it might be in the morning. Really almost depends on if you're a morning person or a night person, because you get tired, you know, and you got to know how to not get tired. You know, yes. And a lot of that comes with the amount of food that you eat, you know, what kind of fuel you have in your body, you know, even some caffeine, you know, not a bad idea, you know, if you know when to, you know, use that to stay awake. You know, I think it occurs, everybody's a little bit different, and you have to find out when that is, like you said.
Yes, you have to find out when it is. And the other thing, Stu, that you and I have been taught from many years of training is you don't have to be always thinking about accomplishing the end. It's just the next thing, right? Yeah. It's the next hour. It's the next, right? Or the next 30 minutes or just this next set or just get out of bed, because just the process of doing that next thing will cause you to be motivated to keep going and doing the following things.
Oh yeah, absolutely. In fact, the saying at SEAL training during Hell Week is make it to the next meal.
Yeah.
You eat every 6 hours, make it to the next meal. So,
and it's that movement, not letting yourself stop.
Yeah.
And the worst thing you can do, as I said, at least in my, what happens to me is letting yourself stop and start to think, especially when you're alone or if you're alone in your own thoughts.
Yeah.
Don't get caught up in your head. Start turning it outward and start doing it by moving a step forward, you know, and it can be in many ways. But just that movement, Stu, is that taking that next step, as you said, getting to the next meal. Those kinds of things are techniques you can use to bridge over that period of insecurity and doubt.
Yeah. Good stuff.
So the one point you make, Stu, in all this is that this can happen, like for me, when I'm in those characteristics, or it can happen when your fuel tank is empty. Right?
Yeah.
So it's important to try to keep your fuel tank as full as possible too.
Oh yeah. I mean, like I said, we talk about it in other podcasts, but you know, knowing your nutritional needs and what works for you. So that's why, you know, when you have a really good day, like when you're working out and it's probably, you hit all your personal records and you meet goals that you've been, you know, struggling for months, take a look at what you did those 2 days before, maybe even the whole week before, on how much you slept, how much you ate, what you ate the hour before that workout, you know, what gave you that optimal performance that you've never achieved before, and put it all together. And you might find yourself, you know, an answer to a question that we all have is like, you know, what is in my fuel tank that helps me produce optimal results? You know, because one of the greatest definitions to mental toughness, I think, is finding the fuel when the tank is empty. But if you can keep that tank full, right, you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Stu, one of the things you can learn too, and if you want just pure evidence of this, look at small children and look at what causes them to crash or to, right. I mean, you can see the effect of what they eat or what they don't eat, and you can see it right away, and applying that to yourself, and you can learn a lot from that.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, you can see it, like when they eat sugar, you know, they go crazy for about half an hour and then bam, they're done. You know, children energy though, they're ridiculous. They have so much energy. I wish I could bottle it, but
the point though, yeah. About that nutrition is that applies to you too. It may not be as obvious to you, but making sure that you apply the proper nutrition and hydration can affect your mental processes. I mean, what you're thinking and how you're thinking, how discouraged you might be because your body's weaker than it should be because you didn't absolutely. Eat the proper meal last.
Yeah, in fact, we just had a kid that did our race. You know, our Run, Swim, Ruck that we did for a fundraiser here with the Heroes of Tomorrow. And we were almost done, about a mile and a half away from completing it. And if you added up all the miles, it's about a 10-mile event.
Okay. Right?
And this kid, double leg cramps. And we even had Gatorade at the turnaround point, and everybody was drinking Gatorade. But it was an arid day. It wasn't very humid, but people had salt stains all over them, so it was a uniquely dry area time of the year here in Maryland, but you don't realize you're sweating and you weren't because it's just evaporating. But anyway, he double leg cramps, tried to get moving, and he felt horrible that he didn't finish the workout. And I had to call our ambulance to come pick us up and bring us, you know, to finish. I mean, it wasn't an ambulance, just a car, you know, but just a backup guy in case something goes wrong on our trail. We have a contingency to take care of people. And we got him up there, and I could see he was really upset about it. And I said, look, man, this had nothing to do with your abilities. It had pure what was in your fuel tank. And, and in fact, I gave him some very salty foods once we got there, and all his cramps went away, you know. And in fact, I gave him this chicken noodle-os. Gave him a can of chicken noodle-os. And he heated up in the microwave at the community center. And if you look at this, so you look on the back of this thing, and this is 2.5 servings, right? This little can here is 2.5 servings. It's ridiculous. That means you multiply all the grams by 2.5.
Right.
So this has 480 milligrams of sodium. So 2.5, that's like 1,200 milligrams almost. And it's got 480 milligrams of potassium. So it's like three bananas right here. Right. He took that and it was like 100%, you know, within about 2 minutes. And so anyway, it was pure electrolytes that caused him to fail. And you're exactly right. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, sometimes it's out of your control, but sometimes with a little bit of forethought,
yes,
you can prevent a lot of the things from going wrong that can go wrong. And you know, you might be mentally tough, you know, but if your legs don't move, you can't move.
That's exactly right. And you and I know that. And this poor fellow got to the point where it didn't matter how mentally tough he was going to be or he was, if his legs are cramped, he cannot do the next step.
Yeah.
Right. So, Stu, one thing you've always said is you need to train to compete, not to survive. And that thought process, I mean, that's a summary for this particular segment that we're dealing with today.
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's all about, you know, really where I got the idea from was when I saw people who kind of rode the minimum standard, you know, in the military. And that was like their threshold. You know, if they could reach the minimum standard, they were happy. Right. So once you take that and you go to another school where that minimum standard is really not enough to just survive the training, right? You are basically in a survival mode the entire time because you don't have the tools to be able to make it through that training. You're not in shape enough to make it through that training because, like I said, it's also a mindset too. You know, if your minimum standard is your goal, then, you know, you're not competing with anybody. So we decided, you know, when we made up this idea of like, you know, we need to compete at this level if we're going to make, you know, to just think about graduation, right? So in fact, you know, if you think about competing and trying to win something, you never think about quitting.
Correct.
You never do. I mean, here's a great example. I tell my marathon story, right? First and only marathon, right?
I didn't know you did one, Stu.
First and only one, right? And I'm warming up. I'm loosening up. I'm ready. You know, I'm thinking, you know, if I can get under 4 hours.
By the way, that's besides Buds, right? But
I mean, actual marathon. This was pre-run. And, you know, if I could get under 4 hours, I was going to be happy, right? I just wanted to finish. Right. That was my goal. So what is that? That's the minimum standard, right? Finishing a marathon is the minimum standard. Well, I look over to see this guy from Kenya doing all these dynamic stretches, you know, moving out, drinking water. And I'm like, he is in a completely different mindset than I am right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He had there was no issues about him not finishing that finish line unless, you know, it was an accident. You get hit by one of the cars driving by or something, but there was no reason why he was not going to finish. And the reason why he wasn't thinking about finishing, he was thinking about being a minute better on his time that he did previously. You know, he was competing. He was competing with himself. He was competing with other runners, you know, so that opened my eyes a lot to what it takes to turn that quit demon off. And if you're constantly thinking about competing, whether it's against yourself, your own personal record, the stopwatch, another person, you never really think about quitting. And you can put yourself in many situations where you didn't quit. And you can think like, no, the reason why I didn't quit is because I was racing this guy and I didn't want him to beat me, you know, but I finished the race, you know, so there's a lot to that, you know, so. You know, training to compete, not just survive, is on back of our t-shirts. You know, we really mean that when we discuss it, and I think it is vital to people's mindset when they go into any tactical profession.
So, Stu, if somebody's fighting with this problem, right, and they've tried various methods, what would you recommend they do next to deal with this issue of they're constantly questioning themselves whether they're going to be able to pull this off or not? What would you recommend they do?
Once again, you got to get into the mode of stop listening to yourself and start talking to yourself. And you need to talk positive. You're going to finish, you're going to compete, you're going to win, going to never quit, you know, all those little things like that. That need to be part of your mantra from now on. Because if you're having the negative thoughts, and if you're listening to them, it's going to affect your performance. It's going to affect your performance in everything, not just, you know, tactical professions. It's going to affect your performance in everything you do, from relationships to work to, you know, whatever goal you think you may have. If you're not feeding it with positive reinforcement and listening, you know, not listening to that quit demon, you're not going to meet those goals like you wanted to. So you got to talk to yourself.
And
then at the end, you'll see once you start learning how to talk to yourself, the quit demon doesn't talk to you anymore, or at least you don't hear it as much.
And then the daily point about finding something that's going to cause you to do something you wouldn't normally do, right? The getting up early or the working out, rolling out of bed and going out to do a run or something that forces you into that little bit of area of discomfort. because that having that habit every single day helps you get over these things.
Yeah, and it doesn't even have to be a horribly discomfort or uncomfortable event either. You know, like Admiral McRaven does. He just makes his bed. You know, it's that one little task that he gets started on a task-making day, you know, and achieving all these daily goals that he may set for himself to get done. You know, make a list. Start getting those things done. Check them off as you go. You know, those are just little ways to keep yourself moving forward. And once again, what's the common denominator? Movement.
Movement.
Just keep moving forward.
All right. So we're going to keep moving forward by stopping this podcast, Stu, because we've hit our time limit. So Tactical Fitness Report with Stu Smith. Email him at
Stu@StuSmith.com. Check out my website, StuSmith.com. And, you know, plenty of stuff in there to help you keep moving through the day.
Podcast 13, Defeating the Quit Demon. Later, pal.
All right. Thanks, Tom.